ordered. "Station green, sir," Vaslav replied. "Main guns ready and wrathful. Cog boys couldn't save the hull, lads. But they've transplanted a heavy bolter from another wreck. Tread's got some bite back, sir."
"Noted, Sergeant. Excellent news," replied Etzel. "I see we also have all specs and more than half of our vid feeds."
"That's right, sir. Heretics can't hide from us now."
"Station green, sir," said Treve, sounding grudging. "The Martians have worked the proper ministrations upon steel tread and hopefully undone whatever taint was left by others' touch. I have full steering, though the priest warned that we shouldn't run the power plant too hard lest the tank's machine spirit become fatigued."
"Thank you, driver," replied Etzel, ignoring Treve's sour swipe at Vero. Now was not the time. Maretzin replied next. Etzel noted she sounded a little winded.
"Station green, sir. We've 19 rounds for the main gun, sufficient reloads for the pintle and hull weaponry, and enough fuel to get Tread halfway back to Mandraga Command."
"And yourself, Loder?"
"Amber, sir. The priests adjusted my brace. Nothing I can't handle."
"Alert me if that changes, Maretzin," ordered Etzel.
"Will do, sir."
"Station Amber over here, sir," said Vero, jumping in next. "I've vid cover and use of my shoulder, but both are about as limited as each other. I'll do my duty."
Etzel smiled.
"I don't doubt it, Gunner."
"Amber here too, Chief," said Schallenbohr. "Cogboy's got me limited traverse back, but there's something too shot for him to fix outside of a forge, or something like that. Besides which, my head's banging like an absolute bastard."
"Will it affect your accuracy, Gunner?"
"Nah, Chief. I'll probably do my job about as good as Garrett does when his rig's tip-top, yeah?"
"You actually do something around here, Nix, besides make a damnable racket?"
Vero asked in mock surprise, eliciting a ribald cackle from his fellow sponson Gunner.
"That's enough of that," barked Vaslav. "You're Cadians, not bloody Catachan inbreeds."
"Sir," replied both Gunners. "Treve, Vaslav, eyes peeled for enemy movement," said Etzel. "If it was us on the ramparts, we'd have spotted this attack wave incoming, so I'm expecting trouble soon. Meantime, briefing in detail. You will all have noticed our assault group is escorting a Martian transport. It will also not have escaped your attention that we're making for the main gates."
"Bringing righteousness deliverance with us, sir," replied Treve.
"Hopefully so, driver. I can confirm what you may already have heard rumoured. The Magos on board that Chimera holds the keys to dropping a fully armed Death Strike missile onto Baragor and atomizing him in the Emperor's name. We just have to get our Martian comrade into position. He'll do the rest."
"Baragor," said Vero.
"That's what I said, Gunner. We're to be instrumental in his destruction."
"But no air cover, sir?" asked Vero. "Or word on exfiltration?"
"No, Gunner Vero, neither of those," replied Etzel.
"Will that be a problem?"
"No, sir," he replied, in a singularly unconvincing tone. Treve spoke up.
"Sir, while I believe the God Emperor watches over us, what is to stop the arch-heretic from unleashing sorcery upon us as he did in the sprawl?"
Etzel kept her voice confident as she replied.
"You'll note our dispersed deployment, intended to counteract just such a threat. Besides which, Psychana Division have caught his scent now, Treve. They'll curtail his witchery."
"With witchery of their own," grumbled Treve.
"We're facing Cadia's bane in there, Treve," Vaslav replied. "Whatever aids us in destroying that monster has the Emperor's blessing as far as I'm concerned. Don't disparage his gifts."
Before Treve could reply, Schallenbohr sang out over the vox.
"Muzzle bloom ahead, sir! Heretics woke up!"
"Throne help us," said Etzel to herself, beneath the snarl of the power plant. "Here we go."
Steel Tread shuddered as ranging shots detonated all around. Shrapnel clattered against the hull. To their rear, one of their forces' chimeras took a direct hit and came apart in a tangle of scrap metal and burning bodies.
"Throne, of all the luck!" breathed Vero.
"One last thing, all of you," barked Etzel. "Understand that we are on the clock. Mandraiga Command is under heavy enemy attack. If they believe the Death Strike's position is threatened, and we have yet to triangulate our target, they'll aim for the center of the enemy complex and fire. Then just pray that Baragor is at ground zero. They can't be more precise than that."
"Would that not be the best plan anyway?" asked Moretzin.
"Not with a pinpoint plasma warhead on the missile loader, no," replied Etzel.
"Can't see that having much chance," commented Schallenbohr.
"Agreed," replied Etzel.
"If that happens, we will have failed in our mission.
And we are not going to fail in our mission, are we?"
She received a rousing chorus in the negative. The Vox flashed a priority hail. Etzel hit accept, and a strident voice filled all their earbeads.
"All Operation Jotun forces, this is Commander Van Calder. The heretics have woken to our threat at last, but we shall not be deterred. Now is our chance to do the Emperor's bidding. Now is our moment to turn the tide of this campaign and to lay low the degenerate animal who has caused such misery and woe to the loyal servants of the Emperor. Soldiers of Cadia, of Geska, and of Maze Mock, this is our day of glory. Soldiers of the Imperium, this is our finest hour. Forward, warriors of the God Emperor, unto victory!"
The commander's address ended. Explosion shook steel tread. The tank bucked as they crossed a state-line ditch. Aswald's voice took the place of Van Calder's.
"All crews to high alert! All weapon spirits roused! Be ready for anything. Tanks, ward the Chimera where you can and shield the Magos at all costs. We push straight through the gates into the heart of the shrine. And the first one to see the arch-heretic, sing out, 'The Emperor protects!'"
With that, they sped onward into the teeth of the enemy guns. Chapter 16. The Gates. Vero hunched over his station as steel tread shook. Despite the engine seer's words of caution, it felt as though Treve were goading the tank for as much speed as she could give. There was no time to waste. He gripped a grab rail with his good hand and felt sweat beads pop out on his forehead. Vero hadn't admitted to the commander how badly his shoulder still hurt, hadn't wanted to risk her consigning him to the Medicaid tents. He refused to let his comrades down. Wasn't just some damned white shield, no matter what the sergeant called him. As he rode out each fresh jolt of pain, Vero hoped he hadn't made a mistake. There was no dismounting now. He just had to hang on, and hope that in doing so, he didn't cause irreversible damage to himself. He glanced at Moretzin, hanging on, ashen-faced and tight-jawed. Vero eyed her augmetic arm, the liminal collision where flesh met metal, and fine cabling plunged into nerves. He doubted he'd get anything so high-tech if he wrecked his shoulder too badly. But there was an awful lot more to the loader than her metal arm. Even unaugmented, she could outperform him in her duties 9 times out of 10. Vero vowed to himself that he would follow her example if worst came to worst. Part of him was angry with Schallenbohr. It was her fault he'd been shot. Yet Vero's annoyance was eclipsed by his relief that, at last, they seemed to have peace within their tank, even if all was fire and mayhem without. The crucible of the last few days had wrought changes that months of comparative safety might not have. Vero liked to think they were all a little better for them, despite everything. Apart from Treve, he corrected himself, the Brethian was still an arsehole. A shriek cut through the bellow of the power plant. Something exploded close enough to make steel tread shudder. Vero tightened his knuckles around the grab rail and hissed out of breath.
He glued his attention to his vid feeds. The engine seers had only managed to reconsecrate two for his station. One looked straight outward, and the other ahead. Through the latter, Vero could see the temple's outer wall growing larger, the glimmering mass of the mountain looming beyond it. Between the tank and that wall lay a stretch of no man's land crisscrossed by trenches and razor wire. To Vero they looked bizarrely scattered, as though their layout owed more to aesthetic or ritual than defensive strategy. It was the same with the brass and silver watchtowers dotting the landscape, apparently at random, and the half-ruined outer shrines left like slumping hulks here and there about the walls. Beyond them lay the temple's main gates. These, at least, the enemy seemed to have fortified well. A pair of heavy gun platforms flanked them. The gates themselves were tall metal slabs, engraved with images of a robed figure Vero assumed to be Saint Carthusus. Their gatehouse had been reinforced with flatboard gun nests and bristling iron spikes, yet even here, the wall to either side of the gates seemed far less daunting than he had expected. 20 feet high at most, the stone barrier appeared more ornament than fortification, and was in many places crumbling under the grip of coiling lianas.
"This it?" asked Chalambor over their direct channel. She sounded personally offended by the poor condition of enemy defences. "Pretty gates and that, but I thought they'd have more guns."
"You're not wrong," agreed Vero. He could see towers and cracked domes beyond the walls, and the peaks of ziggurats thick with smaller stone structures, but these too looked only lightly fortified. "They've spent as much time painting obscene murals as they have shoring up their walls or emplacing artillery." That wasn't to say the guns weren't there, nor the throngs of spinebacks even now settling into firing positions. He busied himself running final checks and muttering prayers to his weapon spirit.
"I ain't complaining, though. Makes a change. Dreg you, White Shield," she replied,
but her heart wasn't in the insult. There was a pause, then she asked,
"How's your arm?"
"Good enough," Vero lied. On his vidscreen, the gunner could see deformed figures dashing to man the ramparts.
"Still, though, what sort of twist brain sticks up more dreg-ugly statues than guns?"
wondered Chalambor.
"Makes me think they're going to pull another sprawls on us, yeah?"
Vero had been trying not to look at the twisted sculptures rising from the enemy ramparts. They reminded him of the prisms scattered through the Orphide Habbelt. Now, though, he felt his gaze drawn to them. Refracted light danced across his vision. He saw sorcerous fog spilling towards him, madness overwhelming those it claimed. He was gripped by the fear that those vapours would rise like a wave and flow over the temple wall, coiling about steel tread like serpents. He imagined vapour filling the tank, their lungs, their minds. He saw the crew turn on one another anew, eyes bulging with madness, nails raking, teeth sinking into yielding flesh, warm blood squirting into his mouth. Vero recoiled from his vid feeds. He swallowed hard and pictured the Cadian moorlands in autumn, their leaves crimson and gold. He visualized them carpeting the ground around the weather-beaten statue of some ancient Lord General. These memories no longer brought him refuge. The fall of Cadia had poisoned all that remained of his former life. His heart settled heavy in his chest. His shoulder throbbed. Vero was relieved when the commander's voice cut through the static of the vox.
"Load main gun! Sponsons! Free target the heretics in the trenches and on the towers. Suppressing volleys. Watch your ammo counts. Don't waste more on these vermin than they merit."
Vero punched up a targeting rune and squeezed his triggers. Spinebacks were firing from the trenches ahead. He fired back, sending tight bursts of shells into each knot of heretics he saw.
"Oh, weapon spirit, direct thy wrath. Purge the unclean,"
he repeated, timing his burst to the cadence of the prayer. Steel tread was crossing trenches now, tracks churning air as heretics threw themselves flat to avoid decapitation. Vero was afforded brief angles of fire, down on the traitors packing each trench. He made his chances count.
"We really have caught the heretics by surprise," he said, hopefully.
"Watch them scramble."
"Rather watch them bleed," snarled Schallenbohr.
Ahead, Vero saw a bright flash as one of the heavy gun platforms vanished in a pillar of flame. Detonations marched along the rampart to the right of the gatehouse. Stone and blazing bodies flew. Fire came back at the Imperial force. Wall guns swiveled and spat. Spinebacks popped up to launch shoulder-mounted rockets. A warhead whipped across Vero's vision. He heard a dull clang as it ricocheted off Tread's front armor. One of the forces' chimeras spewed smoke. Before it vanished from Vero's sight, he saw the transport slew to a halt and its rear ramp drop. His last glimpse was of Cadian soldiers piling out, already firing into the traitor trenches. A formation of Geskan war quads overtook Steel Tread. Goggled riders leant low over their handlebars, pillion troopers snapping off shots at traitors on the walls. It was a stirring sight, at least until a shell slammed down in their midst. More targeting runes, one after the next. More thumping volleys, more jolts punching him in his wounded shoulder. Vero was dimly aware of the wider battle. The dark masses of Imperial assault groups were engaging further along the wall. Muzzle flash blazed back and forth. Explosions blossomed. In the middle distance, an ornate tower toppled, ploughing a breach into the wall.
"Gates opening," reported the sergeant.
Vero saw the huge metal slab swinging inward. Crimson light spilled between them.
"Enemy armor," barked the commander. "Full countercharge. Multiple enemy squadrons. Prepare to engage."
"They're Lehman Russ, barely,"
said the sergeant, sounding revolted.
"Such abominations do not deserve that name," spat Treve.
"For once I agree with you," Vero replied.
The battle tanks surging through the gates were monsters melded of metal and unclean flesh. He glimpsed a tusked tank with a brazier-like flamethrower in place of its turret gun, a horror covered in bristling black spines, an obese and fleshy demolisher with a slobbering maw deforming its front armor. Freakish figures rode high in the cupolas of several tanks, clad in rubberized tank suits with skull helms that boasted feathery plumes or curling horns. The traitor tanks charged headlong into battle, with little apparent regard for formation or discipline. Shells and energy blasts filled the air. Steel Tread rocked under multiple impacts, fire billowing over Vero's feeds.
"Taking hits! Damage to prow armor," warned the sergeant.
"Ahead full! Evasive maneuvers, driver," ordered the commander, rune marking an enemy structure on the vidfeeds. "Keep that watchtower between us and the heretics until we're at optimal range. Maretsin, load main gun. Sergeant, await my word."
Vero clung on as the rival tank formations sped towards one another. Fire filled the diminishing space between them. The Imperial machines were outnumbered, but where they maneuvered for flank shots and sought to shield their damaged fellows, the renegades attacked like rabid beasts. The spined heretic tank took a direct hit and shuddered to a fiery halt. Vexation's cure lost its pintle bolter in a blast of fire, then shuddered as an exploding round peppered its rear armor with shrapnel. A gruesome vehicular mass rolled forward, two tanks fused together by flesh and bone. Its twin turrets focused their fire on Ogre, hitting the demolisher with a pair of battle cannon shells at point-blank range. One of the demolisher's sponsons was reduced to sparking scrap, and a terrible gouge was torn in its prow armor. Jorgen slowed his tank, even as the enemy vehicle sought to encircle him and fire on the lighter armor to the demolisher's rear. Ogre swerved, then stopped hard, punching into reverse and traversing its turret.
The demolisher cannon fired at the same time as the prow-mounted las cannon. One blew apart a renegade tank crawling with eyes. The other punched through one of the conjoined traitor tanks and set it ablaze. Vero was nauseated by the sight of the vehicle's melded companion, swiveling its turret madly as though seeking escape from the spreading flames. It pulled wildly to the left, in an attempt to tear free but pitched sideways into a trench, with its blazing twin atop it. A blinding flash whited out his vidfeed, so bright he worried the Magos transport had taken a direct hit. As the screen tried to adjust, he realized this was no heretic weapon. The Magos' own vehicle had opened fire. The Chimera's turret sent a beam of energy arcing into the midst of jostling traitor tanks, and a second violent burst of light rendered his screen useless. When the image returned, two renegade vehicles were nothing but smoking wreckage. Another slew to a halt, its right flank melted to slag. Vero looked to his other vidfeed. Something odd happened as he stared into it. Colours blurred, ran together, pulsed in fascinating, arrhythmic sequence.
"Gunner Vero, situation report. Why have you stopped shooting? Do you have a malfunction? Vero, report!"
The commander's voice shook Vero from his stupor. He was shocked to find a string of spittle dangling from his lip. He grubbed it away with a forearm and squinted at his vidfeeds again. Now he saw the source of his momentary trance, rounding the enemy watchtower as it came towards them. The enemy tank was an executioner, bristling with plasma cannons. Its armor was onyx black, polished to a mirror sheen. The weapons in its turret and sponsons pulsed with neon brightness, flickering through a kaleidoscope of colours that flowed back along ropey organic pipes that wound sinuously about the tank's hull. The effect was a hypnotic shimmer that reflected from the executioner's sleek armour plate.
"Throne sakes!"
Vero spat, tearing his eyes away as he felt them slipping out of focus again.
"What is... that's..."
Treve slurred over the vox. Steel tread slewed off course, emerging from behind the bulk of the enemy watchtower.
"Driver!"
The commander's voice was like a whip crack, but it came too late. The executioner went pitch black as it fired, venting every iota of its mesmerizing starfire through its weapons. Steel tread bucked under the assault. Vero's port vidfeed turned to static. Its machine spirit banished. Sparks exploded from overloading wire. The stink of hot metal filled the air. Treve screamed through the vox. On his remaining feed, Vero saw the enemy watchtower toppling. A glowing bite taken out of its supports. Spinebacks fell from it, flailing wildly to hit the hard earth.
"Damage report," said the commander. "Station Amber, sir,"
gasped Treve.
"They must have hit the prow armor right in front of my station. I'm burned. Can you proceed, driver?"
"Affirmative, sir,"
Treve replied, fervor suffusing his voice.
"In suffering, we show our faith."
"Good man, then get us point blank with that monster," spat the commander. "We won't let it hit us twice. Vaslav, lay on and fire at will."
"Yes, sir,"
barked the sergeant.
Treve brought them around the fallen tower and gunned headlong towards the executioner. Vero saw the kaleidoscope colours pulsing back into life through the tank's veins.
"God Emperor Eidos," he thought.
"Main gun firing,"
said the sergeant. Vero opened his mouth as steel tread bucked again. The shell connected and Vero's last vidfeed blanked again with the fury of the explosion. Then they were rumbling through the glowing crater where the executioner had been, burning chunks of tank rattling from their hull. Schallenbohr whooped.
"Fine shot, sergeant," said the commander.
Vero couldn't fathom how she still sounded so calm.
"Driver, bring us back into formation. Moretzin, load main gun."
We got bloody lucky when Commander Etzel took that chair.
Vero voxed Shalimbor on their direct channel.
Yeah, well, you had to be right about something eventually, yeah?
Etzel's heart hammered in her chest. Those dancing witchlights had so nearly stolen her wits. She didn't want to think about what would have happened if they had been a moment slower. She gritted her teeth and checked her feeds. Burning wrecks littered the area outside the temple gates. In their overeager charge, the heretics had taken the worst of it, but the fight had cost the loyalists too. Ogre looked battered, dragging the wreckage of its right sponson behind it. Vexation's cure had a deep dent in its turret. Smoke trailed from its power plant. Two Cadian chimeras remained, flanking the Magos' own vehicle, which, thankfully, appeared undamaged. Only one of their basilisks had survived, left far in their wake. Even now, Etzel could see a firefight raging around it as Cadians and Geskans sought to defend the artillery tank from spinebacks flooding from nearby trenches. On their foe's side, not a single heavy gun remained operational around the gatehouse. The only spinebacks she could see were fleeing or sprawled dead in the dirt.
Permission to double back and support our artillery crew,
Jorgens voxed over the command channel. Etzel wanted to second his request, but she bit her tongue. The Magos voice crackled through the vox.
Prohibitory. Insufficient temporal latitude for acts of inefficient organic sentiment. Our requirement for haste outweighs the utility of an additional artillery platform. I am proceeding to target and require your continued escort. Those are soldiers of the God Emperor back there, part of our force. They deserve our aid,
snarled Jorgens.
The Magos is right,
said Aswald.
There is no time, and I have had no reported sighting of Baragor. He has not been drawn out by our assailing his gates, so we must seek him within his fastness.
Jorgens grunted.
Emperor save us, then. Let's get the job done,
he said.
Moretzin, Sergeant, open the gates,
Etzel ordered.
Pleasure, sir, replied the loader.
The enemy had closed the gates. Demolisher cannons rendered it a fruitless gesture. Their fire blew the gates from their hinges and sent them flipping back into the temple grounds. With Ogre in the lead, the three battle tanks roared through the gatehouse with the trio of chimeras on their tails. Etzel tensed, eyes dancing over her vid feeds, hunting for something barely a week ago she'd have sworn was folklore. The Imperial tanks emerged into a wide plaza flanked by clustered stone buildings and exited by several wide processionals. Lasfire and a few heavier projectiles whipped at them from the buildings ahead.
Purging,
snarled Jorgens over the vox. His tank's fire brought the roof down upon the enemy rearguard with decisive finality.
Hold for orders, driver, said Etzel. All guns, reload and honour weapon spirits. Shalimbor, get a medkit and see to Treves burns.
Over the command channel, Aswald reported to their superiors.
This is Assault Group Aswald. We have broken through the main temple gates. Enemy resistance slackening at this location. No sign of primary. Excellent work, First Lieutenant,
replied Captain Lothan over the muffled sounds of battle.
Proceed with all speed to the temple proper and establish a foothold. Assault groups Nokoris and Havlan have broken through within half a mile to either side of your position. They have orders to add their infantry assets to yours. You ought to have sufficient forces to storm the structure and to locate Baragor if he is within. If we locate the arch-heretic within the structure, sir, do we have your permission to extract what forces we can before calling in the strike?
Asked Aswald, his tone suggesting he already knew the answer, but couldn't have lived with himself if he hadn't tried.
Negative, First Lieutenant. Can't risk the time delay,
Lotham replied.
Call down the God Emperor's wrath at once and pray that he's feeling merciful.
Etzel had expected the answer, but still her heart sank at the words. Such was life in the Astra Militarum.
Yes, sir,
said Aswald, carefully toneless.
Assault group ahead steady. All crews high alert. Take the northern processional. sharp as cut glass, if you please.
Framed at the end of the processional, perhaps 2 miles distant, Etzel could see the high dome of the temple. The structure grew out of the living rock at the mountain's foot and shared its vain pyrite lustre. She studied it with grim fascination as she relayed Aswald's orders. Behind the outer wall lay a belt of jumbled stone structures, resembling a cross between mausolea and Lohab complexes. They clung to the stepped sides of marble ziggurats. Winding stairways and narrow footwalks cut between them. Everywhere Etzel looked, she saw signs of heretic desecration.
"Priest houses, acolyte blocks, pilgrim hostelries," said Vaslav as they rolled forward. "This place once teemed with the faithful. Look at it now."
"Would that the Emperor had granted us the grace to look upon it unspoiled," said Treve. Etzel heard the suppressed pain in his voice. She was impressed, despite herself, at his ability to soldier on in the face of his burns. "Perhaps one day, Treve," she said. "We've not lost this world yet, nor shall we. For now, focus, all of you. The enemy can't have failed to notice us knocking on their door." Sure enough, they had travelled only a few hundred yards when a swarm of figures burst from the side streets. They wore lavender robes that billowed open to reveal black leather straps and grossly scarified flesh. Their faces were lost behind expressionless silver masks.
"Gunners!"
she barked. The sponsons and hull-heavy bolter let fly, chopping through the mass of charging figures. Etzel saw no weapons amongst them, larger than silver stiletto daggers and the odd pistol. The cultists hurled themselves at the Imperial tanks nonetheless. Those not gunned down, vanishing beneath churning treads. It took less than a minute for them all to meet their deaths.
"What in Thrawn's name was that?" exclaimed Vaslav.
"Such is the madness of the heretics, Sergeant," replied Treve. "Willingly do they flock to their own destruction."
"The sick bastards can throw themselves under our tank all day," Vaslav shot back, but he sounded appalled. "Contact right!" barked Shalimbor,
and her heavy bolter thumped again. Etzel saw spinebacks dashing down the steps of a nearby ziggurat, a cloaked officer goading them with a silver whip. The heretics dropped into firing crouches and loosed volleys into the flank of the Imperial vehicles. The shots splashed from the armoured hulls of the tanks. A handful of heretics attempted to rush the assault group with hook bombs, but were gunned down. The rest were driven back by lasfire from the chimeras, before vanishing in the armoured column's wake.
"Assessment, Sergeant?" asked Etzel. "Rushed redeployment, sir. I'd speculate we've broken their line, and they don't have the reserves in place to stop us."
Etzel checked her aut specs.
"Agreed, and heartening," she said. "But let's not get carried away, sir," asked Vaslav.
"Yes, Sergeant. Firm tiller, steady course." Shells looped high over the ziggurats to the west, a desultory cascade of mortar fire detonating in the roadway. The bombardment seemed imprecise, almost panicked. The explosions rocked steel tread, but did little to slow the column. Huge shrines now rose up on either side of the processional, Gothic foothills to the domed majesty of the temple. Etzel saw curtains of flayed skin fluttering in windows and doors, but no sign of enemies. Beyond the shrines, the land opened out into what must have once been elegant prayer gardens. Croatoas' frenzied fauna had run rampant, but in places the heretics had burned it back before putting the former idyll to a new and horrible use.
"God Emperor, preserve us," cried Treve.
Blackened clearings marched away to either flank, ringed by androgynous statues that looked graven from still quivering flesh. Each burned circle contained a domed silver cage, several times the size of steel tread, and within lay heaps of rotting bodies. She tried not to look, but it was impossible not to see the marks of ritual sacrifice upon some corpses.
others lay entangled in death, teeth sunk deep into one another's peeled flesh.
"Now we know what Baragor did with his captives," said Vaslav, sounding painfully weary.
Etzel shuddered and checked her auspex. Contact runes showed the shape of the battle. Firefights still raged along the walls, while other runes showed where assault groups had been slowed by ambushes in the residential belt. Others still glowed within the defiled gardens. On her vidfeeds, she could see the closest battles raging. The enemy maneuvered with increasing desperation. They launched scattered ambushes or fell back from one holding action to the next. Etzel felt cautious confidence as she watched the strategic picture developing. It truly looked as though Baragor had overextended his forces.
"Targets ahead, improvised roadblock," said Vaslav.
"Looks like a last line of defense," observed Vero. Etzel saw they were fast approaching a line of broken statuary, flakboard and razor wire thrown across the processional in the shadow of the temple. Heretic stubber teams blazed away at the approaching tanks in what looked to Etzel like panic.
"Watch out! Dreggers might scuff up our paint, yeah?"
sneered Shallenbor.
"Maintain pace and blast a path,"
voxed Aswald, who clearly held a similar opinion of the enemy's futile defence.
"These pitiful souls cannot slow us."
"Main gun, lay on and open a path," ordered Etzel.
"Sponsons, mop up.
Then eyes on the temple grounds. This can't be everything." Steel tread bucked and blasted a rent in the enemy barricade. Bolt shells and lasblasts scythed down the day's survivors. The Imperial tanks tore through the roadblock without slowing. Etzel supposed she should have felt exhilaration as they swept towards their goal. Instead, she voxed Aswald on a private channel.
"This isn't right, Aswald.
If it was just traitor dregs, I might believe we'd caught them tied to the docks, but a heretic Astartes so unprepared, it's not plausible. What if Baragor isn't here at all? He could be leading the final push against Mandraga Command even now."
"I think it more likely that he waits to play his hand, Lieutenant Etzel. We are the proverbial throne stone, and our duty remains to trigger our enemy's trap. We shall press on and secure the temple grounds, and hope that in the process we lure the arch-heretic into the open."
"That doesn't mean we shouldn't seek to unpick the net before we find ourselves entangled, Aswald. We have to be careful."
"We will be ready, Hedea,"
he replied. Only the slightest tremor in Aswald's voice betrayed his reassuring tone. The temple loomed over them, the mountain rearing at its shoulder. Etzel's nerves sang like gut wire on a fisherman's line. Her eyes flicked to the structure's windows, expecting to see figures appear there and rain fire upon them. She held her breath, waiting for a sudden storm of sorcery to sweep them away or drive them mad.
"Sponson gunners, have hand welders ready just in case we need to pressurize," she ordered.
At this juncture, she was less concerned about spooking her crew than she was about ensuring they survived the next few minutes.
"Masks are still spent, sir," advised Vaslav. "No spares to be had at Sabre Camp."
"Understood, Sergeant," Etzel replied. She willed Baragor to show himself, as though she could somehow drive him into the open with hope alone. Better the storm break swiftly than continue to build. Runes flickered suddenly to life across multiple screens. Vox exchanges paused, broke off, degenerated into panicked shouts. Even through the tank's thick hull, Etzel caught a distinct cacophony of throbbing bass booms that filled her with indistinctive dread. There was a sense of prophecy fulfilled as Captain Lothan's voice burst from the Vox, a study in controlled alarm.
"This is Assault Group Lothan. We have eyes on the primary. Repeat, Baragor has just entered the engagement theatre on the extreme eastern end of the outer wall. He has just emerged from one of the ruined shrines the enemy left intact outside the walls. Be advised, target is accompanied by a squad of heretic Astartes. Can't identify, but they're wielding some manner of sonic weaponry and..."
Etzel cut the channel, as it filled with squealing feedback, only to hear more reports flooding through the vox. Crimson runes sprang to life on the Auspecs.
This is Assault Group Draco. Heavy Spinebacks Reserve taking up firing positions on outer wall ramparts to our rear. Where in Throne's name are they coming from? They have heavy weaponry. Engaging! Assault Group Nokoris. We are on the edge of the Shrine Gardens. Be advised there are traitors exiting the mausolea and moving to surround us. Buggers must have lain up in the tunnels under the gardens. Emperor's Oath, there's a lot of them. Assault Group Jardin, repeat, we remain outside the walls. Under heretic assault from trench lines, but we have artillery ready to lend support. Requesting fire mission coordinates.
Then came the firm and decisive voice of Commander Van Calder, overriding all other communication.
Primary target has entered the combat engagement zone on our extreme eastern flank. We believe he is accompanied by heretic Astartes, renegade battle tanks, and spineback shock troops. Enemy strength unclear. All assault groups, reform the line along incoming coordinates. You have your mission, servants of the Emperor. Whatever the cost, eliminate Baragor and confirm the kill.
Aswald uttered a lyrical string of curses in what Etzel assumed was Maes Mokken.
Throne, that is a long way from us,
said Jorgens.
Did he know?
I don't think so, said Etzel, as Tree brought steel tread to a halt in the temple's shadow. This feels like a plan made up on the fly by a commander happy to spend his followers' lives.
Sacrifice the temple complex and all those deployed in its defence,
said Aswald.
Conceal his elites in shrines and mausolea and, Throne knows, anywhere else approximating a bunker. And chance that some of them might die to shelling and structural collapse before they ever got to fight. Hit us when we are as strung out as we are likely to get. Seems the enemy's command structure is even more callous than ours,
Jorgens observed.
But now what? He's a long way away.
We have the gauntlet to run a second time, said Etzel. And this time will be worse than the last. We might have triggered Baragor's trap, sir, but he's outplayed us in turn.
Steady, both of you,
said Aswald.
The primary target is in play, and our mission has not changed. Assault group, rally on Vexation's Cure, and prepare to advance on Baragor's position. He shows his arrogance by leading his attack in person, just as Command always said he would. Even now, at this bloody end to matters, I believe that we have played just as well as he. We punched through the heretic's lines once. We can do it again. We just have to get Magos Heng close enough to end Baragor. And now, we have the chance.
Chapter 17. The Breach. Shalimbor, target starboard flank.
I see him, Chief.
Etzel saw the small knot of spinebacks blown apart by Shalimbor's salvo. Her eyes flicked across the tank's remaining vidfeeds. The assault group had halted at the inner edge of the residential belt. Stymied by a line of barricades thrown up between two of the ziggurats, a squadron of leering skulls tanks had drawn up behind the barricades and traded fire with the loyalists as they approached. One of the heretic tanks had been reduced to a burning hulk, while another had suffered heavy damage from the intense, close-ranged firefight. A deft shot from Ogre's gunner had blasted a sizable breach in the barricades themselves, wide enough that Assault Group Aswald would be able to push through. Before they could capitalize on Jorgen's success, however, the spinebacks had struck. Twisted heretics flooded down the steps of the ziggurats. They took up positions in fire-blackened priest houses and behind toppled statues. Many carried tank-busting weaponry, or else clutched hook bombs in eager hands. The boldest amongst them had spilled out onto the processional, looking to encircle force Aswald entirely.
There's something wrong with their eyes, said Sergeant Vaslav.
They glow with the fire of heretic stigmata, exclaimed Treve. The marks of damnation are upon them. Some amongst the spinebacks were indeed manifesting a strange glow that burned from their eyes and left dancing afterimages in the air behind them. Etzel wondered briefly if this was some effect of Baragor's sorcery, or perhaps the telltale sign of an unholy blessing or perilous alchemical stim. She discarded the line of thought as the fire pouring into the armored column intensified. Steel Tread's hull rattled under the onslaught. Something burst with a tremendous bang against the side of the turret.
Gunners, maintain suppression fire. Moretzin, load main gun and give me an ammo count.
7 shells remaining, sir, including this one.
Clang, clang, clang. Etzel switched to the assault force's command channel.
Sir, we can't stay here. We should pull back and try another route.
Emperor's eyes! We have to break through!
Snapped Jorgens.
This is the 3rd processional we've tried, and we're no closer to that heretic bastard than we were 10 minutes ago. We can do this, sir!
Ogre's gunner lobbed another shell into the enemy barricade, widening the breach they had already blasted. Etzel stared into the enemy firestorm. Another gang of spinebacks were blown apart by sponson fire, and the multi-lasers of the last 2 Cadian Chimeras.
Quandary. Both Lieutenant Etzel and Lieutenant Jorgens appear partially correct in their conflicting assessments,
stated Magos Heng.
Probability is high that any attempted route of ingress through the residential belt will meet a similar level of resistance, but our temporal allowance is surely all but depleted. Logic dictates we must press forward, First Lieutenant. No, we retreat,
barked Aswald angrily.
Regroup in the square at the mouth of this processional. Let us pull our necks out of this noose and see if we cannot draw the enemy onto our guns. If we thin their numbers sufficiently, then we can attempt once again to break through. We cannot reach Baragor, Magos, if we are all dead.
Etzel gave the order and felt Steel Tread lurch into reverse. As the Imperial column pulled back, her eyes crept to the crimson rune, marking Baragor's position on the Auspex. It flashed, mockingly out of reach. She saw Imperial Eunuch designators blinking out as Baragor's force advanced steadily upon them, gathering traitor reinforcements as it went. Etzel clenched a fist and thumped it against the inside of the turret. A new voice came over the command channel. A Cadian sergeant, one of the survivors of their charge, and amongst the last dregs of their infantry escort. Etzel thought her name was Chasnov.
First Lieutenant Aswald, do you require assistance, sir?
Etzel saw Vexation's cure was lagging behind the retreat. Smoke billowed from its wounded power plant. Aswald's voice jogged as his tank rode out a direct hit from a crack missile.
Your concerns are appreciated, Sergeant Chasnov. Vexation's cure is losing motive force, but my driver assures me the tank's spirit remains formidable.
Finally reaching clear ground, Aswald's column spread out in a defensive formation with the Magos Chimera sheltered at its center. They were surrounded on 3 sides by man-high grass and thorned creepers, while to their 4 rose the ziggurats and towers of the residential belt. Columns of black smoke rose from other battles raging nearby, while a greater and darker cloud showed where Commander Van Calder fought Baragor outside the walls.
They've took the bait all right, said Shalimbor.
The spinebacks came on in a headlong rush, glowing eyes flaring amongst them. Sponson guns thundered, stitching bloody swathes through the heretic charge. It didn't slow them.
Those with the glow seem to be moving faster, Vero observed.
Thrown! They take some killing, too.
Their master empowers his slaves with witchery, said Treve. You're right, Isaac, said Vero. I know they're mutants, but I don't remember them being this tough.
Spineback stumbled onward with limbs missing, or their guts torn from their bodies. Etzel saw one heretic, his head a burst and bloody ruin, manage to pull the pin from a crack grenade and hurl it, before at last succumbing to death.
Requesting permission for myself and Sergeant Blonsky to deploy our squad, sir,
voxed Chasnov.
We're more used on the firing lines than canned. Denied, Sergeant,
replied Aswald.
I understand your desire, but we require swift mobility if we are to exploit any gap we make in their lines.
Etzel saw more spinebacks digging in on the slopes of the ziggurats. Others dashed across the open ground and plunged into the tall grass. Hastily, she scrolled her Auspex map. There is another processional a quarter of a mile to our west. If we relocate to that position...
Then we'll find more heretics waiting for us,
interrupted Jorgens.
At this rate, we'll still be trying to break through when Baragor comes to finish us off himself.
If we sit here, they're going to encircle us, snapped Etzel. And if we advance, we might as well pop our hatches and invite them in, Aswald answered firmly.
Fire for effect. Thin their ranks. Sergeant Chasnov, Sergeant Blonsky, watch our flanks and rear. If the opportunity presents itself within the next 2 minutes, then we charge the breach. If not, then... Imperative. Mandraiga Command reports situation critical. Inner compounds breached by heretic shock troops. My fellow Magi cannot guarantee the continued sanctity of the Holy Death Strike. Launch rituals have commenced,
blared Magos Heng.
I have initiated an impact countdown, Crone. Current time to warhead arrival, now 29 minutes and 54 seconds.
Etzel's nails bit into her palms. She glanced through her periscope, as though she might see the missile already streaking over the horizon towards them. Magos, there are other units already engaging Baragor. Can they not guide the warhead in? She asked.
Negative. The Death Strike's targeting spirits are complex and haughty. They require machine choristry and will not attend the beseechment of mere flesh voices. We can still guide the missile to its target, but I must employ my holy instruments to do so. Otherwise, the Omnisire's gift will be squandered. Then there's no more time for debate,
said Jorgens.
Sir, respectfully, your tank won't keep up. Bring up the rear with the transports. Etzel, are you coming?
Ogre's exhaust snorted smoke. The tank surged forward, trailing its sparking sponson.
Jorgens,
barked Aswald.
Lieutenant Commander, hold your post.
Etzel clenched her teeth, then thumbed the vox. Sorry, sir. There's no time. We have to try. Just watch our backs, and you can set the commissars on us later.
Damn the heretics for pushing us to this. You know I would not do that,
he snapped.
Very well. Demolishers, force the breach. We'll support you. For throne's sakes, watch your flanks.
I will, Horatio. You know we have to do this.
I do,
he replied.
But you do not have any permission to embark upon your final voyage, Lieutenant Etzel. Clear?
As a tide pool, sir, she replied. Then switched to the crew channel. Time for some of that vaunted Cadian caution. Driver, take us in. Gunners, flank sweeping. This is going to be rough. Moretzin, load main gun. What are you? Hammers! And what do? Crush heretics! Her crew leapt into action. As they did, so too did Steel Tread. Ogre ploughed ahead, grinding bloodily over the advancing spinebacks, who scattered in surprise before the sudden armor charge. Steel Tread followed its squadmate into the meat grinder. Vero and Schallenborg mowed down those heretics who tried to charge Jorgen's tank. Missiles and grenades fell like rain, exploding against Tread's hull. Etzel willed Steel Tread to endure, pressing a palm against the hull. She had entrusted all their lives to the tank, and could now only hope that it would prove worthy of her trust. The crossfire intensified until it became a roar of noise and light and impacts. Steel Tread smashed through squads of spinebacks. Blood sprayed the vidfeeds. Ogre's hull was ablaze, but the tank sped onward, trailing fire and smoke. Ogre's main gun spoke, and a leering skull's tank detonated. Another backed frantically out of the demolisher's path, Ikor welling from its cratered hull as its turrets swung to bear. Ogre's lascannon spat a beam of searing light, and the enemy tank burst like a ruptured organ. Fire whipped past Steel Tread. Multi-laser salvos and a coruscating blast from Heng's tank. In the rear feed, Etzel saw Vexation's Cure lob a shell into a mass of heretics as they descended a nearby stairway. Aswald's tank might be limping, but it still had teeth. She flinched as a missile punched through the hull of Blonsky's Chimera. The transport slewed off course and ploughed to a halt, burning fiercely. Etzel gripped her seat, her eyes flicking across the enemy's elevated positions. Part of her expected bullet holes to pucker the turret armor. Her last moment one of Egject's surprise as she followed Mzenwe into death. Clang, clang, clang. Moretzin's signal snapped Etzel from her momentary fugue. Hull ablaze and dented, Jorgen's tank was at the breach, barging aside flaming wreckage. Etzel saw a Spineback's officer haranguing several heavy weapons teams on a rooftop above. They leaned out, aiming their missile launcher at Ogre. "Sergeant," she began, but the turret was already traversing.
"Mengum firing!"
The weapons teams were obliterated, along with the top two floors of their priest house vantage point. The shockwave flattened more of the flimsy buildings to either side. Etzel had time to hope vehemently that those structures had been packed with heretics, before she was altered by a shout from Vero.
"Sir, Ogre's port flank! I can't get an angle!"
Etzel saw a wounded Spineback staggering through the wreckage behind the barricade. He was brandishing a hook bomb and making for the flank from which Ogre had lost its sponson gun.
"Jorgens, on your left!"
The heretic swung his weapon into Ogre's churning tracks. He was dragged off his feet, still clinging to the hook he had driven into the tank's treads, then burst like a ruptured wineskin as the crack charges detonated. All the same, he had done enough. Tattered metal sprayed, Ogre's track unspooled, and the tank slewed hard left before grinding to a halt just beyond the breach.
"Supporting fire!"
barked Aswald.
"Protect Ogre! Hold the breach open!"
Etzel heard Jorgens cursing over the vox.
"Throne's sakes, not again! Ganks, flank sweep! Mabaru, check!"
Shimmering columns of energy stabbed into Ogre's right flank. Time seemed to stretch as furious heat haze danced before Etzel's eyes, and a white-hot glow grew from the right flank of Jorgens' tank. Before the moment snapped back and the demolisher exploded, with such force, the shockwave almost stalled tread in the breach. Shrapnel rattled from their hull, and Etzel felt her gorge rise at the thought of her comrade's remains vaporized in amongst the shards.
"You dregging heretic scum!"
yelled Shalimbor. Her heavy bolter thumped, riddling a band of Spinebacks armed with melter guns. Etzel realized belatedly that the traitors must have emerged from a priest house to Ogre's right while everyone was preoccupied with the threat from the left. It had taken only a single salvo from their tank-killing weapons to accomplish what platoons of heretics had failed to achieve.
"Orders, sir?"
asked Vaslav.
"Load main gun. Driver, ahead steady until we've some space around us, then wheel and halt. We'll cover the column as it comes through."
Treve accelerated past the blazing ruin of Ogre. Etzel tried to watch every feed at once. Her rear feed glowed, and she looked in time to see Vexation's cure burning. Its main gun was a mangled mess.
"Horatio!"
Aswald's voice came through the hiss of his tank's fire suppression shrine.
"We're all right. Push on, Lieutenant Commander. Hold that breach."
Etzel saw Treve had brought them into a plaza beyond the ziggurats. Buildings pressed close all around. They reminded her of the coral reefs she had seen as a child, rising to the surface of Sago's oceans. To her relief, they looked abandoned. With luck, the enemy had thrown everything they had into blocking their force. Treve brought steel tread about, just in time for Etzel to see a missile streak down from the window of a priest house high up on the ziggurat slopes. The warhead hit Magos Heng's transport and burst in a fireball that momentarily blinded Etzel.
"No!"
she shouted. The crimson transport rolled on through the breach, but its turret was a twisted wreck, and it was lurching along with one flank blackened.
"Gunners, maintain fire!" she ordered. "Their ranks are thinning. Prioritize that priest house. They've a heavy weapons nest up there." "Main gun firing!"
Steel tread bucked. More shrines and priest houses collapsed in the blast, the offending structure amongst them. Burning Spineback's corpses rolled bonelessly down the steps. Etzel drew breath to congratulate Vaslav when Vero shouted again.
"Enemies left! Spinebacks with hook bombs!
thrown! My damn shoulder! I can't...
There was a ferocious explosion. The lumens flickered to crimson. The power plant died with a choked growl.
Damage report!
Etzel gasped into the gloom.
Station Crimson!
Groaned Vero.
They rushed us with hook bombs! Sir, thrown! I'm sorry! I couldn't get an angle on them. My shoulder cramped up. They got our tracks, and my gun's junk!
Treve overrode Vero's apology.
Station Crimson, no response from left track. Power plant's inoperative. We're running on caskets, sir. Treve, do what you can to awaken main power, ordered Etzel. Vaslav, Shalimbor, keep shooting.
She might as well not have given the command. The assault that had crippled Steel Tread had been the last convulsive spasm of the battle. Mauled by the Loyalists' armor charge, the last of the heretics were falling back, snapping off parting shots, some tumbling as bolt shells or lasbolts found them. Quiet descended. Etzel's heart thumped. Her ears rang, and her wounded forearm throbbed like a rotten tooth. She felt slightly detached from reality, numbed by the carnage of the last few minutes. Through the hull armor, she could hear the muffled rumble of battle continuing nearby.
We have broken the line, but the cost was great, said Aswald.
Etzel cast a sorrowful look at the ruin of Ogre. I'm sorry, she said.
For what?
Demanded Aswald.
You and Jorgens were absolutely right. My hesitancy was inexcusable. The Emperor expects. Even now the Death Strike is airborne, and we will not complete our mission dithering on the fringes of enemy territory. But now we must determine our course of action. Magos Heng, what is your status?
Assessment. Suboptimal, First Lieutenant. Heavy battle damage, and the vehicle's spirit is unsettled. I assess that it will not endure transition to the target zone without extensive repair, for which there is no time. Nor, I fear, will vexations cure,
sighed Aswald. We're immobilized, running casket, Etzel reported.
Sir, our Chimera is still operational,
said Sergeant Chasnov. If she was at all shaken by everything they'd been through, Etzel couldn't hear it in her voice.
If the Magos cares to transfer his holy personage to our vehicle, then we and Ashen Pilgrim will see him safe to the target zone. You will be travelling alone, Sergeant, but it seems our only recourse,
said Aswald. One Chimera, unescorted, in this terrain? Asked Etzel.
If you have another option, Lieutenant, I will hear it with gratitude,
replied Aswald.
Magos, what is the count? Updated. 21 minutes, 12 seconds to warhead impact.
Etzel racked her brains. Baragor's rune had settled upon the fortified gatehouse, through which they had roared what felt like hours before. A heretic battle line was forming upon his position, the battle now raging both inside and outside the walls. She was disquieted to see more Loyalists' runes blinking out one by one.
I do not like this, but Magos, you must transfer yourself and your skulls to Sergeant Chasnov's Chimera,
said Aswald.
Couldn't the Magos work some repairs, sir? Asked Vaslav. Get us rolling again.
I doubt there's time, Sergeant, Etzel replied. We've taken a lot of hits.
Yeah, well, not like we're a small target, is it? Commented Shalimbor.
Etzel blinked, thunderstruck. Gunner Shalimbor, you're a genius.
Doubt that, Chief,
replied Shalimbor, sounding nonplussed. Etzel thumbed her vox. First Lieutenant Aswald, my sponson gunner just hit upon a solution. Magos, how close do you need to be to target Baragor?
Expositional. The Laz Targeter arrays possess an operational range of 700 feet and are equipped with grav impellers to allow for optimal self-positioning. I myself must remain within 300 feet of at least one of the Laz Targeter arrays so as to facilitate their choral network.
And how swiftly can they guide the missile to its target?
Additional. The system requires unified choral fix for at least 10 seconds to achieve correct triangulation.
Etzel nodded to herself, then pressed ahead. We go on foot. This is nightmare terrain for armor. Without escort, I wouldn't rate that Chimera's chances of making it even halfway to Baragor. Even if it does, the engine noise will bring heretics down on them like mudflies on a beached carcass. But we're, what, 10 minutes double time on foot to the gatehouse?
Amendment. 9 minutes and 37 seconds, assuming an average ambulatory pace of 4 miles per hour, though without correcting for potentially hazardous encounters with hostile forces.
There's time, sir. We can slip through where the tanks can't and use this tangle to our advantage, Etzel urged.
To confirm, you would have the Cadians escort the Magos on foot?
Asked Aswald. Us too, sir.